listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Cleveland Browns single game season tickets are available now at clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. If it's your chance to secure tickets to all 2015 Cleveland Browns home games this season, including key matchups against the Broncos, 49ers, Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, and the home opener against the Titans, tickets will go fast. Secure tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. Good news for the Browns in that one as well. It looks like Jason McCourty, the best corner for the Tennessee Titans, will not play in that game against the Browns.
Good.
Groin surgery. All right, we're going to postpone Mike Pett. We'll go to the phone lines. People are fired up, so let's do it.
Bring it.
Jim in Akron, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Good, man. What's up?
I had a few things. Hopefully I can get to them. One funny and the other one's more serious. The funny thing is, I was thinking about wearing the jorts and getting the lava and wearing my T. West number 20 jersey that I got in training camp last year, and then he changed his number on me.
I do not believe, and I've actually got a couple people have asked me this on Twitter, that Danny Shelton, I asked around, there is no expectation that he is changing his number from 71.
But,
he wore that for a time in college, then switched to 55.
Right.
Alex Mack's not going anywhere.
No.
So this, there's nothing that would lead me to believe that he's going to change his number.
You referenced Wes changed his number, right?
Right, Wes did.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Wes wanted to.
I was the only one wearing that 20 jersey in training camp last year, and then he changed it.
Well, just write drawn on the back, and you can have it for now. And then, or just
find
a
seamstress.
Listen, put a line through a zero, and it's an eight.
Yeah. You know, the more serious part is, you know, between the national media and some of the local guys, I don't know how they keep saying we're the worst team in the NFL. You know, we have – I'm not saying we've got the best talent, but we've got some good talent on this team, good young guys mixed with some veterans. I mean, people forget we were an Alex Mack injury. You know, we were in first place, you know, 7-5 and –
that was even after Alex Mack's injury.
And then everything fell apart. But, you know, our line's too good not to start gelling. I mean, they're not showing much so far, but, you know, it's not like they've all, you know, one minute Thomas is out, next minute somebody else is resting. I think hopefully this dress rehearsal, you know, we can get the running game together, you know, get old Duke going in the three-headed monster, and those young receivers, I think we're way better at receiver than people are giving us credit for.
I agree with you. I think this team is improved. Will it ultimately lead to a massive change of wins, losses with the tougher schedule? I'm not sure, but I do believe that the Browns are a better football team, especially on the defensive line, which was dreadful last year, and I think will be a strength of this team. 216-578-0850. Let's go now to Johnny D in Dallas. Let's go to Eddie in Westlake. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing with that?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I was listening, man. We can't really keep on making excuses for Johnny Manziel. I know you talked about, and if I really got to hear some more stuff about what he did at Texas A&M, I mean, I didn't play professional football, but I played in college, so I got to find this for people that, you know, have great careers in college. But,
sure.
You know, you can go down the list. There's like hundreds of quarterbacks, you know, that have great careers in college, and it doesn't translate to the NFL. And whether we want to admit to it or not, it's just one thing after the other with this kid. You know, I mean, it started off with it's coming out with this, you know, he's had this in high school, whatever. But, you know, these injuries, you know, when you're injured, the scouting report on you is that you're going to continue to be injured. I mean, guys that are injured in college and stuff, they end up translating 90% of the time they're going to be injured in the pros. Guys that don't have playbooks and I don't even know how you can do that, but not have playbooks in college, all of a sudden they're going to translate in the NFL and just be a student of the game. I mean, it's just so many different red flags with the kid that at the most important position in the National Football League, I'm just ready to really cut ties with him. I mean, because all that running around and all that stuff you talked about how tough he was, that just showed you. You know, he was out there trying to challenge that linebacker from Carolina. This is the National Football League. Everybody is fast. Everybody is big. I mean, now those things, like you said, maybe in college, maybe he was tough. That's debatable. But if you say he was tough, Well, now you get to the National Football League with guys and those same hits you was taking in college, they put you on IR. I mean, I'm ready to kind of move on. I mean, we didn't have multiple chances at quarterbacks. I mean, I looked at, you know, I was a fine.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
So you played in college. You've seen football. Do you think that judging him as purely just a quarterback, you have seen progress from Johnny Manziel in the two preseason games in terms of his ability to go through progressions, climb the pocket, deliver the football? Does he look like a better player this year than he did a year ago? And again, let me make it clear. He is not ready to start. Josh McCown is the starter. But what I'm asking is, do you think Johnny Manziel's made progress this year compared to where he was a year ago?
Okay, to be honest with you, Nathan, yes. But it was where he was at. It wasn't really hard to do.
Also fair.
This is the reality of it. This is the reality. When you gamble on these six-footers, these guys less than 6 feet, there's only two of them that are elite, Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. Both of those are students of the game. So if you already know that it's a gamble, 32 teams in the National Football League, there's two of these guys at 5'11", 5'10", whatever you want to call them, that are elite. There's only two out of 32. You wanted to gamble thinking you had the third one. That's okay if you take the kid in the third or fourth round. But when you take him in the first round, gambling on a six-footer and knowing that there's only two elite ones in the National Football League, there's only two, but you take your gamble on the third one, that's how you get fired. Okay. I mean, I just don't understand how you can do that.
Did you listen to this show last year?
What's that?
This show. Did you listen to this show a year ago?
I mean, yeah, I listened to the show a year ago. Yeah.
All right, who would I have drafted?
I think you were Bridgewater, but you got caught up in the aura too. You got caught up in the Johnny football and you know what I'm saying. I mean, but I never got caught up in that because to me, what all that kid did was it was in a college. See, everybody look at what he did in Alabama. I mean, how many defensive players on Alabama in the National Football League? The bottom, they're well coached. They're well coached.
C.J. Mosley was a Pro Bowler, a rookie for Baltimore Ravens. There's a couple.
But the reality of it is, I don't care if it's 10. It's still college. The bottom line is, everything about this kid didn't translate. No playbook in this day and age. That, I can't get over that. Really, that part of it is, that's why Joe Thomason was so upset when that kid went in at Cincinnati, because they knew he didn't know the plays. They'd rather go with Hoyer, Dinkin and Duncan, and not having the arm strip to make all the throws. They'd rather roll with him than roll with a kid that don't know the playbook week 13.
Which is certainly fair on their part, again. And I will try to say it, even though I'm getting killed for saying that Johnny Manziel is the next Joe Montana, which I am not saying. I think he's made progress. I don't think this elbow injury is a big deal. If it becomes a big deal, it'll be dealt with. I don't think he's ready to start games in the National Football League. I just think he's better than he was a year ago. I think he has made progress. I think there's tangible proof of his progress being made. And if that's me taking up for Johnny and defending him till the end.
Oh, it is.
Till the cows come home,
yes,
definitely. As the saying goes.
It is.
Then I'm sorry, but that is, in my mind, all that I am saying. And I don't know how to utilize the English language any more effectively than I currently am trying to convey that. Steven in Colorado Springs.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted, I'd like to say I'm an optimistic fan.
Why not at this time of year? You should be.
If
it sucks, it's going to suck. Like right now, let's be happy.
You're 100%. You're 0-0.
You've already gotten yourself out of any potential Bozo of the Week nominations. Right on.
Excellent. That's what I'm trying to go for here.
Yes.
I feel like we're so much better than we were a year ago.
And I agree.
I am a huge fan of Ray Farmer. I really like what he's done with the team. My personal opinion, I don't think the first two picks of his first draft were his, because if you look at just the personalities of our players from Batodio on after that, they're the exact same personality and type of players that we got in this year's draft. And don't get me wrong, I really like Justin Gilbert, and I really like Johnny. And I'm a guy who grew up in Dallas as well, so, you know, I always got all the crap being in a Cowboy country and being a Browns fan. But, you know, I really like the direction and the way this team's going. And I feel like as long as you stick.
Looks like we lost you. So what's amazing to me, and this is what I find so interesting, is I got a tweet from somebody, I won't even say who it is, who said, stop making excuses for Johnny Manziel. He blows. Hope he relapses. Why do Browns fans want to root against Browns players? If look, I said it. I still will say it. I have no problem saying it. I would have drafted Teddy Bridgewater. I don't care. But Johnny Manziel is here now.
Right.
He's a Brown.
In
and
the
if
uniform.
You want this team to be successful, you want Johnny Manziel to be successful. At least you should.
Right.
Otherwise, what's the point?
And you know what's very you know what it is? It is upsetting and frustrating. And I think what happens is, you know, the Northeast Ohio is, you know, a proud town of their teams. And yes,
he's not a blue collar guy.
Right.
I get it.
Right. He's not a blue collar guy. And I think what happens is when the Cleveland Browns continue to show up in the media, you know, which can be portrayed, you know, multiple ways, as we know. They have friends. There's Steeler fans in Northeast Ohio. There's Bengal fans. You know, there's fans from these other teams, and they kind of just continue to poke you for always being the laughingstock of the league. You know, poke the Browns fan because, oh, Johnny's – so there's a butt of – they feel like there's a butt of every joke every single football season. While they're excited and optimistic, their friends who root for other teams beyond Cleveland – poke them and prod them that they reach their boiling point and they take it out, you know, on one player and turn away from a guy that's actually wearing your uniform that could potentially be your franchise quarterback a year from today.
Right. Again, if he's not, at least I feel like he's trying to do the things to find out if he can play quarterback in the NFL. The guy last year didn't do what he had to do off the field to be an NFL quarterback on the field. And it showed when he was in the game. This year, he's at least doing it off the field. And so you want to find out what he can be. At least I do. I'm curious. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just drinking grape Kool-Aid. Yes, my favorite flavor for those wondering. 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. We'll be back with more of your calls, hopefully right after this. Tom Withers at 2 o'clock.